Amen. All right, friends, we're going to dig into the scriptures now. This is the message portion of the service when we read the scriptures and unpack them for each other. If you did not get a copy of the bulletin with a worship order in it, I want you to raise your hand. We're going to have some of our serve team ushers bring you one because we're going to follow along with the scripture reading right here in case you didn't bring your Bible. So if you need one of these, would you raise your hand right now and we'll bring you one, okay, right here. One of our ushers didn't. So keep your hands up if you need it. They'll find you, I promise. They're very good finders, these ushers and serve team people. All right, we're going to be in Luke chapter 9. Estelle, right here. Raise your hand higher. All right, we're going to be in Luke chapter 9. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. And you can follow along, friends, as I read. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ according to his servant Luke. Then Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. Jesus said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, not even an extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. Wherever they do not welcome you as you are leaving that town, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They departed and went through the villages, bringing the good news and curing diseases everywhere. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Friends, the mission of Timberlake is to reach, feed, and release people to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Everybody say reach. Everybody say feed. Everybody say release. Everybody say reach, feed, release. Amen. Good. Now, do you know where these ideas come from by any chance? These ideas of reach and feed and release. Any guesses? The Bible. Good guess, second row guy. All right, the Bible. They come from the Bible. Yeah, we didn't just make this up, friends. If you look at the story of Jesus and of how he engaged people, how he brought them in and filled them with good things and then sent them back out again, you'll notice over and over Jesus is doing this. He's reaching and he's feeding and he's releasing people to be his hands and feet. This is the rhythm of life with Jesus Christ. So our series during September, friends, is called The Rhythm of Life. We are talking about the rhythm in which God has ordered the world, rhythms of work and rest, rhythms of giving and receiving, rhythms of time alone and of time together. And so today I want to talk with you about this rhythm of coming in and going out, this rhythm of being with Jesus where he's reaching us and he's feeding us and then he's releasing us back out into the world. This is the rhythm of life with Jesus. And this is what the beginning of chapter 9 is all about, this story from the Gospel of Luke. It's a story about mission. But it's also a story about the nature of discipleship, about what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what this story is about. This story is a microcosm. How many of you know what a microcosm is? It's a small example of the larger whole. And so in six verses at the beginning of Luke chapter 9, there's this very short story that is really a story that's about the larger three-year ministry of Jesus that's all throughout Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. And so I want you to look at this with me, and we're going to unpack it together, okay? So go back again to your scripture there on your sheet or in your Bible in Luke chapter 9. We're going to start with verse 1, and I want you to read it out loud with me as I read, okay? Are you ready? Here we go. Then Jesus called the 12 together. Okay, stop right there. Stop right there. Now, I know it's tempting to just run on through the whole thing, right? Let's take it one phrase at a time. These six words, really, really important. Then Jesus called the 12 together. What's Jesus doing? He's reaching. He's reaching out to bring people in to him so that they would have an experience of the living Lord. He's saying, hey, come to be with me. But notice, it's not just the disciples and Jesus. The story says he called the 12 what? Together. It does not say Jesus had individual one-on-one meetings with each of his disciples, right? No, they were all together. So they're having an experience not only of Jesus, they're also having an experience of each other. Is there anything that you can think of that we do as a church, say on a weekly basis, say on Sunday morning, where we have an experience of God and of each other Isn't that what we're doing here, friends? There's this vertical thing happening where you come to meet Jesus, but there's also a horizontal thing happening where we're engaging with one another. We are communing together, right? That's why we call it communion, because we're eating together at the table, okay? So that's what's happening. Jesus is reaching, gathering them together so we could have a holy experience with God and with each other. Okay, now look with me at the second half of verse 1, okay? Go back to your text. We're going to read it out loud together. We're actually going to start reading with the beginning of verse 1. But when you get to the first instance of the word "and," I want you to read louder to emphasize, okay? We're going to read verse 1. When you get to the word "and," start reading louder. Ready? Here we go. Then Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Okay, pause there. Look at what Jesus did. He gave his disciples power and authority. Why? So they could feel better about themselves? So they could feel important? No. So they could serve other people. So they could cure diseases. So they could cast out demons. Now, how does that sound to you, the power to cast out demons? That sounds miraculous, right? That sounds miraculous. And it is. I don't want to sell Jesus short on his power, what he's doing here. But if you walk away today thinking that this story is about a one-time miracle that Jesus did 2,000 years ago and it has little or no relevance for today, then I have failed you. Because this story is less about a miracle and it's more about a microcosm, remember, a small example of the larger whole. What Jesus is doing here in this one instance is what he spent 3 years doing. Equipping his disciples, empowering his disciples, sharing his power with them so that they could do what he could do, so that they could bless people, so that they could heal people, so they could cure diseases, so they could cast out demons. Now, we have a word for this at Timberlake, this transfer of power from the Holy Spirit to us. We have a word for this kind of nourishment that happens when you get in the scriptures and read it, when you pray, when we worship together. You know what we call this? Feed, right? Feed. We're feeding. We're being fed. And so my goal is to get you in places where you can be fed. In your stomachs, yes, right? Also your souls, right? That's why we gather for worship, friends, to be fed. That's why we gather in our life groups, to be fed spiritually through the grace of Jesus Christ. Okay, reach, feed, now what? Okay, let's look at verse 2. Look with me at verse 2. Are you ready? We're going to read it out loud. Ready? And he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. All right. So the disciples have come in to be fed, to be trained, to be with each other, but not only for their own sake, so they can also be sent out into the world. So they can go and proclaim the gospel, so they can go and heal the sick. And the Timberlake word we give to this is what? Release. Release. Friends, you all are to me like horses at a starting gate. And I hope you take that as a compliment, because when I came to Timberlake, you said to me, "Pastor, we're so glad you're here, and you just tell us where to go and what to do, because we want to do it. We want to serve Jesus, and we're a mission church." That's what you said to me. You said, "Pastor, we're a mission church. You need to understand that about us." And so as far as I could tell, you're just ready to go. You're just saying, "Point me in the right direction, and I will go into the world in the name of Jesus." And so the best word we have to capture that is release. The people of God are being released out of Timberlake Church and into the world. And in this way, disciples are becoming apostles. How many of you have heard the word disciple before? Raise your hand. You know the word disciple? Disciple is a follower of Jesus. How many of you have heard the word apostle before? What does apostle mean? Say it out loud. Someone who is sent. Everybody say sent. Apostle is a person who is sent. It's from the Greek apostello, I send, okay? So in this story, disciples who follow Jesus are becoming apostles who are sent by Jesus out into the world. Friends, we are being sent. And how are we to go? What does it look like in the going, okay? Verse 3, all right? Verse 3, here we go. Ready? Read it with me out loud. He said to them, "Take nothing for your journey. No staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, not even an extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. Wherever they do not welcome you, as you are leaving that town, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." They departed and went through the villages, bringing the good news and curing diseases everywhere. Okay, friends, this is what it looks like to be sent by Jesus. I think sometimes we think that the sending is what the church does with the particular committee. Oh, hey, you're the missions committee or the missions team. The church is going to send you. No. Sending happens when God sends the whole church out into the world, not just some small group, all of us, okay? And this is how we are to go. Jesus said, don't take anything with you. You don't need your backpack. You don't need your goldfish crackers, right? You don't need your beef jerky or your Mountain Dew. Just go. Just go. Why? What is it that they are to rely on then if they are not going to have goldfish crackers and beef jerky and Mountain Dew and a backpack and an extra jacket? What is it that they are to rely on? Yeah, their faith, right? All you need is faith. All you need is your faith. As Jesus is saying, like, look, don't take a bunch of equipment because you are the equipment, okay? You are the tools. You are the tools that God is using. You are the instruments of God's salvation to take the good news of his salvation into the world. So don't load yourself down with a bunch of stuff. Be sent, go light, depend on God. Depend on the hospitality of your neighbors. Hey, if they won't let you come and stay, fine. You know, shake the dust off your feet, keep moving. Someone is going to let you stay with them. Someone's going to feed you. Someone's going to take care of you because I'll work it out with them to do that. And have you ever noticed that what a blessing it is to host someone in your home and to serve them as it, even as they come to serve you? There's this mutual thing happening. So Jesus is saying, not only do you go to serve and to give, you also go to receive something. How many of you know that when you go out for your mission projects today, you are going to receive as much or more than what those who you are serving will receive from the experience? How many of you know you're going to receive a lot? Raise your hand if you know that. Isn't that the way missions works? Well, I showed up to bless someone, but I was the one who was blessed. And so Jesus is saying, look, you depend on others for a mutual exchange of blessing. Don't ever think that we're the only ones with blessings to share. Everybody has. So we can give and we can also receive. Friends, this is the rhythm. This is the rhythm of life with Jesus. Reach, feed, release. Last thing for today, a story about elephants. What do you know about elephants? They're chunky. What else? They live a long time. Okay, what else? They're slow. Okay, say it louder. They have trunks and tusks. Very good. They're family-oriented. Okay, good. What's the first thing you notice about elephants? They're big. Everybody say elephants are big. Everybody say elephants are powerful. Okay, friends, I wonder if you know how elephant owners keep their elephants from wandering off or stomping on their Toyota Prius. Do you know how they do that? Do you know? I learned this week. So here's how it works. It starts when elephants are very young. You see, when an elephant is very young, the elephant owner will tie a chain, a heavy chain, and kind of a, like a collar around its back leg. And it'll take that chain and it'll tie it to a big old tree like this one. So that when the elephant is very small, it tries to get away and it cannot get away. It's captive. And it pulls and pulls and pulls for days and weeks. It pulls and tries to get away, but it can't get away because it's small and the chain is so heavy and the tree is so big. And so finally, that chain around its leg starts to kind of cut into its skin, and the elephant gives up and says, okay, forget it. It's not worth it. I can't do that anymore. But then something happens. The elephant grows and grows and grows until it's huge. And the owner no longer needs a big heavy chain. The owner simply ties a rope around its leg and ties the other into like a wooden post or something. And yet that rope keeps the elephant captive. Did you know that? It doesn't even need a big heavy chain anymore, friends. And it has very little to do with the rope that is around its leg, and it has everything to do with the shackles that are around the elephant's mind. You see, because something happens to a baby elephant when it is convinced that it cannot go anywhere. As soon as it feels the tug on its leg, it says, oh, I'm captive. I can't go anywhere. And the elephant has been convinced that it is too weak to move. It's been convinced that it cannot go anywhere, that it has to stay exactly where it is. Now, here's the thing about the elephant. Any elephant with one jerk of its leg could rip that rope and pull that wooden post right out of the ground. It'd be easy. But the elephant has been persuaded The elephant's been convinced that it's too weak to do that. All it does, feel that little pull, that little tug on its leg, and it says, well, I guess I'm here forever. I can't go anywhere. I need to say to you today, the Church of Jesus Christ is an elephant. The Church of Jesus Christ is an elephant, my friends. We are one of the biggest and most powerful creations that God has ever made. But the devil's played a trick on us because he's convinced us that we are weak and ineffective. He's tried to persuade us that, you know, we feel that little tug on our leg, that little tug of apathy, that little tug of indecision, that little tug of selfishness, and we say to ourselves, I can never make a difference. I can't really do anything. I can't really go out there and talk to people about Jesus. That's too scary. That's too intimidating. Friends, you are one of God's most powerful creations. Never, ever believe that you are weak. You are strong because you have the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I want you to imagine today, I want you to imagine what could happen if the people of God rejected the idea that we are weak and ineffective and instead embraced the idea that we are strong and powerful because we have the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to imagine with me today what would happen if we remembered that every Sunday we worship the God Most High, the God who created you and me and made this beautiful world. I want you to imagine what would happen if we remembered that our Savior is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want you to imagine what would happen if we remembered that we are some of God's most powerful creations. I'll tell you what would happen if we remembered that. The sick would be healed, and the lonely would have companions, and the hungry would be fed, and those who are despairing would have hope. And the people in this city who are lost would be found by the grace of Jesus Christ because you told them about Jesus. That's what would happen. That is what would happen, dear friends. Then Jesus called the 12 together, and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey. No staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, not even an extra tunic. And they departed, and they went through all the villages, bringing the good news and curing diseases everywhere. Thanks be to God. Amen.